I was on my lunch break the other day trying to cram as many healthy foods into such a short period of time as I possibly could, and I was thinking about my patients and how much harder it must be for them to always make good choices. I've always understood how diet can affect our physical health, but in this edition of the Carlett Report, it discusses how it can affect our mental health.
We'll bring you details on a new diet that just might treat depression in this podcast.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Carlett Psychiatry Podcast, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Carlett Psychiatry Report, a CME publication, keeping psychiatry honest since 2003. I'm Kelly Newsom, a psychiatric NP student and an avid reader of every issue.
And I'm Chris Aiken, the editor-in-chief of the Carlett Psychiatry Report.
I remember first reading about this last year when you covered the first study on diet and depression. But this month, you go into a lot more detail.
Well, yes, this month we were able to catch up with Dr. Felice Jacka, who published the first clinical trial of diet and depression. And she gave us a lot more of the nitty-gritty on how to introduce this diet to patients and what exactly it involves. So, what the diet is based on is the Mediterranean diet, that's usually ranked as one of the top diets for physical health. And Dr. Jacka modified that diet to make it easier for people with depression to follow, and she also sprinkled in a lot of important brain foods based on about 10 years of research, much of which she and her colleagues had done, showing how specific foods affect the brain.
How do we even know that this diet works?
Just like we know that medications work, through randomized, placebo-controlled trials. And in this case, there are two of them. The first was by Dr. Jacka in Australia, and the second was by one of her colleagues, also in Australia. So what the studies did, they had to have a control group, and they can't just use a sugar pill, a placebo. So what they used was supportive psychotherapy. In one of them, it was a one-on-one counseling where the counselor acts like a supportive friend, just giving advice and support. And in the second one, the control group was a group experience where people got together with other patients and played games or went bowling. And that group experience, which we know that kind of group activity can help depression, was compared to a group where the patients actually learned the Mediterranean or antidepressant diet and learned how to implement it in their lives. So let me cut to the results of both of those studies. The results actually surprised Dr. Jacka. Mm-hmm. She was expecting the diet to just have a small effect, but it had a very big effect. We measure that effect by the effect size, which is just how different it was from the placebo. And in this case, in both studies, the effect was not small, not medium. It was a large effect size. And that's saying a lot, because with SSRI antidepressants, we usually get a small to medium effect size in the research. Now, we can't really put our hat on that because these are just two studies and they're relatively small, so there could be a lot of wiggle room in that effect size, but it's a very promising result.
Yeah, that seems very impressive and intriguing. Have you actually seen it work, though, in practice?
Yes, you remind me of a patient early on about 10 years ago, before I knew anything about how food affects the brain. I'd been seeing this patient for several years. He was on disability for depression, and he just had no reactivity to anything. He wasn't motivated to get better. Nothing made him feel better or worse. He had no drive. He didn't want to do therapy. He didn't want to change meds. Basically, nothing worked for him. He had treatment-resistant depression. So I kept working with him diligently as I could, and every visit was usually the same. But one day, he walked in with a spring in his step. He had this glow, like an engaging smile. I hardly recognized him, and I said, "Well, what's changed?" He looked at me and said, "I gave up fast food 3 months ago." All this time I'd been working with him, I never once asked what he was eating. Turns out he was eating fast food for most of his meals. And that's something I learned from Dr. Jacka, is that this diet can work either by decreasing the bad stuff, the fried foods, fast foods, processed foods, and simple sugars, or increasing the good stuff, the fruits and vegetables, the nuts and beans and lean meats.
So I see in the article where Dr. Jacka discusses the effects on the brain that this diet can have, particularly that section on inflammation as being a leading cause of depression. Can we talk briefly about this inflammation? What does it mean specifically?
Yes, there's a lot of research coming out from all angles looking at inflammation and depression. And Dr. Jacka thinks that's one of the main avenues through which the diet works. Specifically, she finds that when people shift to a healthier diet, they have lower inflammatory markers in their body, less inflammation. And we know that when people have less inflammation, they have less depression. Some of the causes of inflammation are the same causes of depression: obesity, inactivity, medical illness, stress. And that connects this diet to a lot of other research on anti-inflammatory treatments for depression. We're going to be covering that more in upcoming issues of the Carlett Report, because it's something where we're actually finding biomarkers, that is lab tests, that can inform which antidepressant will work based on the patient's inflammatory markers.
So is it a lot of work for them to do, like the diets where you count calories or protein intake and all of that?
Well, that's another impressive thing about Dr. Jacka's results, not just that it worked, but that the patients actually did it. And by the way, she found that the diet worked even if people stuck with it halfway. She found the more they adhered to the diet, the less depressed they became. There's another way she showed that it might be the food that's making the difference. The diet is not intimidating or complex. I usually start by printing a copy of the diet. It's pretty simple, about one page. We have a copy of it in our May issue. And I'll ask the patient to look it over and find some foods that are recommended on the diet that they already like, and to just make a commitment to eat more of those. It might be hummus or whole grain breads or blueberries or watermelon. I always tell them that there's no calorie counting. They can eat as much as they want, and no foods are restricted on the diet. Dr. Jacka is simply asking people to eat more of the good stuff and less of the bad stuff.
How do you monitor the effects of this, though, and patients' adherence to it?
That's very important. It's not enough to just introduce the diet, but to really show interest in it and follow up. A lot of times I'll have patients keep a food diary where they'll write down what they eat at every meal and bring it in. I'll look over every page and we'll troubleshoot, talk about their successes and troubleshoot their setbacks and find new ways of substituting healthier foods. We'll look at foods that they like. I'll give them a list of healthy foods from the diet and ask them to pick out ones that they like. We'll start from there and build from there. We don't make too many changes at once. And while I'm doing that, just like with any medication, I'll measure their depressive symptoms. In my case, I use the PHQ-9, and we can see usually about 6 weeks after they've started the diet, their depressive symptoms go down. Not all the way. I tend to see about 30% improvement most of the time. And if the patient starts to slip, the depressive symptoms start to slowly come back in. It's really helpful to show the patient these ratings so they can decide for themselves what they're going to do. Well, that's all for this podcast, and that's all for the May issue of the Carlett Report. If you liked what you heard here today, I hope you'll go to our website, thecarlettreport.com, where you'll find all of the articles we discussed. And for our podcast listeners, we're offering a special discount. You can get $30 off your first year subscription with the promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST, all caps. Also, you can write us through asktheeditor@thecarlettreport.com. Send us your feedback and questions. We're going to try to address as many listener comments as we can.
The subscription includes the print edition delivered to your mailbox and full access to all articles on the website, monthly CME credits to maintain licensure, as well as an option for self-assessment credits toward your board certification.
The Carlett Report is one of few CME publications that depends entirely on subscriber support. That helps us stay free from the influence of the pharmaceutical industry and bring you information you can trust.